Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Today is the day that the Lord our God has made. He's given us another day in this wonderful earth to share his grace with others. We spread the word, we bear fruit, we help people see life. And the Lord has done great works to give us his grace and to help us understand things that must happen. There are those that will make the wrong choice, and I don't want them to. I know the evil that's going to happen against people that choose the worldly way. But the Lord has, he's done things the right way. He's given us his love. He's given us abilities in him. And he wants us to operate in it. That gives people a chance. That when people see more light, they can come in. They'll be able to judge what they're doing. And this morning he said his people lost the ability to judge, which means they're going to have more light. And it's going to have to come through those who love God. Love is the backbone of our power. Love is the way our faith works by love, and faith is needed for us to love. But love, when there's no love in you, there's nothing for God to work with. Isaiah in verse 8, he said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. When they get to the point where they say, seek to the wizards that peep and that mutter, you know, he said, and he was trying to get them to see the ways of God, sticking to the things of God. He said, if they don't speak according to this word, that is because there's no light in them. So without love, we can't do it. The God kind of love is how we win. He said, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. Now that's how they should be doing it. Then he said, if they speak not according to this word, looking to the law and to the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. When people have no light in them, that's when they start arguing with the truth. They're like the people that Ezekiel wrote about. They argue with the priest. You don't argue with the man that's representing God to you and representing your case to God. That's not the person to argue with. But that, you know, when people don't have love in them, and they're seduced by the darkness of this world, that's why they do foolish things. They argue with the priests. They try to get the prophets to preach smooth things. They're in love with the world. The world is their first love, not God. And they broke all the rules. They gave wine to the Nazarites. Tried to get Jeremiah to preach smooth things. Or Isaiah. And Jeremiah. Didn't want to hear the word of God. Jeremiah gave a prophet. Here comes Hananiah saying, no, it's not going to happen. In 2 full years... we're going to get all our stuff back from Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to be free of him. He died in the 7th month because he didn't listen. You have to receive what God is saying and mix faith with it. See, Jeremiah said amen. That was something that Jeremiah wanted to happen. Jeremiah left the Lord, sent him right back. Tell Hananiah he's going to die this year for preaching lies to his people. Now, the protocols of God are life. The ways of God, they're life. The Lord sent people, you know, and the prophets of old said that the Lord will wake people up early in the morning, send them, all the prophets, to try to get people to repent. They wouldn't do it. No light in them. And then one scripture said, the prophets don't live forever on earth. You know, they die. apostles die, we go on to be with the Lord. Well, we pass on. We go to paradise, but we ain't going to be here forever in this condition until Jesus come bring us back and raise us from the dead. You have to receive what God has done when the messenger shares it with you. And the Lord had me dealing with this week. I don't really like talking about what happened in the past with the pastors that didn't follow God to his specifications. I'm not trying to shame them or anything. I'm not mad at them. There's no strife or animosity. Though all those guys blessed me in many ways. And all the pastors I loved. But see, the Lord brought it to me to bring it back up so that this generation don't make the same mistake. Now, Charles Capps taught that a generation is 40 years. Okay. All right. The generation of a ministry, you know, that window is about 20 to 40, maybe 50 years, sometimes 60. You know, people get some, you know, if you start preaching in your 20s and you live to be in your 80s, that's 60 years. That's basically a ministry generation. But many people start later than in their 20s or in their teens. And what the Lord taught me was, if the pastors that was in the early 90s didn't obey God, then he was going to have to raise up a new bunch. Save them and raise them up, just like he raised up Nebuchadnezzar. And I have all of this documented in my old notes. The Lord said, just like he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, he was going to get people out of the streets and raise them up, and they'll follow him. And I didn't want that to happen back then because that's going to take too long. I want to do this now. It broke my heart when they wouldn't follow God to his specification. So God had to raise up another generation. And there are people who followed God and stuck with it. But when I say to God's specification, the Lord will prepare people, anybody that will do it, for what they're designed to do. Just like we covered in yesterday's broadcast in Job 33, he has to hide pride from it. He cannot build on pride. He just can't do it. Now, a few broadcasts ago, I gave an excerpt from The Next Move of God by Fuchsia Pickett. And this book, I believe it was 1961 when she got this revelation that I shared. And she was talking about how, you know, enemies of the move of God. She in this chapter, she dealt with Absalom's betrayal. In the church, there are people who try to usurp authority for fame and fortune. So this is chapter 5 called Absalom's Betrayal. It starts on page 49. But when I got to page 61, I saw something that the Lord had been dealing with me about. And I'm going to read it again, because even if you're a good man of God that lay hands on people, get them healed, speak words of prophecy, they come to pass, you're on fire for the Lord, you're doing it God's way. If there's a level of pride, God just can't build on your ministry the same way. That has to be gone. And sometimes it takes training. Not only that, that's not the only thing. That's a factor, but not all. Even if you've done everything God ever told you to do, the next glory will require training. God will have to prepare you for it. There are protocols you got to learn. And that's why they're not going forward as much. And usually when a church prospers, that's when they start deviating. And I've seen it too many times, more than I desire to. A church may do something over the top in my eyes, and I can't tell. It may be great and grand, and I can't find anything wrong with it, but the Lord knows which direction he wants to go in. And he knows how to do it. And when people start compromising, usually when people prosper, their focus changes. If your focus changes, you change with it. And when things are going better and smoother, you're eating every day. Every time this happened for Israel, they always ended up back in darkness. It's not the money, it's the focus. When you focus on it. The rich young ruler, he was doing everything. He was fruitful and he multiplied. That's where he stopped, because he started looking at his wealth. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, if he would have done that, if he would have did it Jesus' way, Jesus would have taught him how to disconnect his focus from money back onto life, what caused him to receive the money in the first place. So when so many ministries and human nature and culture, it's easy to happen. If people are not on their face in the presence of God and talking to the Lord, things sneak up on them. The enemy say, well, I couldn't stop the progress, so I use the progress. If I can change his focus with this progress, then he'll soften up. And it always works. Unless you stay in the presence of God. Now, God always has a remnant of people that will follow him no matter what happens. And they set themselves up to prosper. And I admire men of God that way. I love them. And they take in money and they utilize it. They don't lavish themselves. Why do I need more than one mansion? Why do I need five luxury cars? That doesn't make sense. Now, a little aside here. I'm a mechanic. And the more cars you have, that's the more you got to maintain. And it can be expensive maintaining the car. And time consuming. You have to take it to the shop. You have to wait till they change the oil. Yeah, it's things you got to do. And then if you don't drive them, they go bad. They're not like cars of old. You have to keep the battery up. You have to keep the oil circulated. If you let a car sit, it's not gonna do well. I can tell you all kind of problems you're gonna have if you let a car sit for a month. So, you know, if in every car you have, you got to drive it or it's going to go bad. I promise you, as things going to start happening that shouldn't happen. You're going to start having leaks because oil's not circulating. The seals are going to get hard where they shouldn't. Battery has to be maintained. It's going to strain the alternator. Well, nevertheless, the point is not all that. The point is this. If you have enough, if you have a point where you can be content, that's beautiful. The needs of the population out there, the reason God bless you, he honors your faith and your prayers to get you to the point where you can be a blessing to people. You have to keep it flowing. You don't need money in the bank. You need it out here in life. That way spiritual wealth will get on your life and you're going to receive more to be faithful with. But if you let it rot in a Swiss bank somewhere, because they don't, you know, I don't know, it must be some kind of tax break if you put it on a Swiss bank. They over there doing who knows what with it. And you don't, when you put your money in the bank, the interest that they make on it, you don't know what they're going to do with it. They could be funding abortions or something. But when you're using it for the kingdom of God, the money is being used correctly. And that's something God can bless. But when people, you know, Satan's low down and dirty, he would love to mess you up and put you in the worst position he could. The Lord told King Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, that's when he was obedient, you know. But when he saw he could make decisions and people were following, he got cocky. Then his focus changed. He was trying to please people again. You can't be attached to ministry. You have to be attached to God, and ministry will work. You have to be detached from the ministry you love. Let it be what it is, a ministry. Don't let it become a cash cow. But it's easier for that to happen in our culture, especially when men that you esteem highly are doing that. And they lowered the standard, what they did. I like to see people raise it. Jesus said, buy me gold tried in the fire. When they used to take possessions from the enemies, they couldn't just bring it in the camp. They had to try it. They had to burn it to purify it. Because evil nation would get gained the evil way. You had to burn the chaff off of it. That's the best way I know to put it. But see, the protocols of God protect us from ourselves, from what we don't see. Now, these people don't see it, but when the Lord is pointing things out to you and you see it, and then it stalls what the Holy Spirit can do. Now, I learned to monitor the Holy Spirit. I say that sometimes. The Lord said that he was grieved with things. He told me, that's why I say, I'm not trying to nitpick at people. But when the Holy Spirit stops, the whole thing is shut down. It can't go any further than it all, than, you know, than what they're sanctioned for. And remember, the miracles that happen in our ministry is not a qualifier. The even the dead that we raise, or the anything we do, the way we preach, God will use you even though you're not in sync with him. But why not be in sync with the Lord? Why not be in faith? Why not be one with his will? For real. And the Lord will do miracles for others. So that's not a qualifier like we think. Many are going to come before him. Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out, he said many. Many people are going to do this. We cast out devils in your name. We preached in your name. He's going to say, depart from me, you work iniquity. That's not good. I don't want to be wrong thinking I'm right. If I'm wrong, I want to know it so I can fix it. But some works of God must be, we must be trained for it. We must be in God's, to get the protocols so that we can be appropriate in all that we do. It's so easy to deviate. Now, when Fuchsia Pickett wrote this book, The Next Move of God, the Lord revealed to her some things that he would do. And on page 61, I read it before, but I'll read it again. The Lord has he's going to use people that will honor him. And he taught me these things. But this sounded so familiar when I read it that I highlighted it. It says, she wrote, a warning. God spoke a startling message to me one night as I was ministering in a church in North Carolina. Now, this is before I was born, folks. I didn't know about this book till a few years ago when Mary had us teaching in Sunday school. I wasn't even born, had no revelation yet. I didn't get my revelation till the 90s about ministry. But late 80s, early 90s. But I never read this book a day in my life until about, 4 or 5 years ago. It says, God declared, I will not allow anyone who touches my plan, my program, my prophets, or my prophecy to be part of or participate in the next move of God. The wisdom that I see here, God used people that were humble and wouldn't go with the status quo. Now, this revival that she's writing about here back in 61, a lot of the men of God that I love and know of were in it, such as Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and many others. Because this is the next move of God was coming. The charismatic movement happened after that. And it happened with people, even Catholic people started receiving the Holy Spirit. See, what she's writing about, it happened. I'm showing you the protocol. Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, they would get hate mail, so to speak, from the church that they were preaching wrong, doing this wrong, doing that wrong. They didn't measure up to their religious ideals of the day, teaching people to speak things by faith. So God left them out of the move of God, and then he preceded the move of God with people that were following him. This is the protocol. And then she went on to say, I immediately recognized the book of Jude in outline form in that statement. He had mentioned four of the seven steps that led the church into apostasy. I realized that there are sins committed against God that are much worse than sins we commit against our fellow man. It is not a light matter to be involved in criticism or betrayal of an anointed servant of God. Now let's look at what the anointing does. Now she wrote this before I'm born. I'm born in 63. She wrote this in 61. Or she went, I think part of that revival she was in was in 61. When the Lord gave her the revelation, she may have written the book a little later, but nevertheless, we see that it takes, you have to have light in you to receive what God is doing. Now let's look at Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now watch this now. This is where we got to wake up. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So, when Jesus said in Luke, I'm not going to mess it up this time. Sometimes I try to refer to scriptures and I leave something too important out. Okay. He said, Jesus loves us, you know. He cares about he wants us to obey him. And those that he sent to give a word, he wants them to hear. And he pointed out something to his disciples. And if they hear, when he sent a messenger out with a message, the way you receive that messenger is the way you receive the one who sent it. And it's very important to receive what the Lord is saying. Here it is. Luke chapter 10, verse 16, he said, he that heareth you heareth me. He that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Now I want to show you something real important. The Lord brought it back to me last night. I began to notice something that bothered me years ago, but I couldn't put my finger on it until later on in life. Looking back at it, I can see what was happening. Imagine God give you a word that's going to bless someone. But in the course of the word, it's wisdom beyond your normal way of talking and acting. And sometimes I would be in the presence of an older person. I don't even like saying stuff like this, but hear me out. I would notice something. God would give me wisdom for them, to bless them. But when there's pride, pride will get provoked. They hear what's being said at the moment, but the enemy pushed that pride button, and they get provoked. And their focus is not on what's being said, it's on how they're going to appear smarter. And the Lord sent me with a message to be a blessing, and it's like there was a competition going on. And I tried to excuse it, but I couldn't forget it. And it was pivotal. Or it may have just been something that God gave, you know, had taught me and I was excited about, and I shared it. And something, but people would get provoked. And they would try to focus on something they can say that's better. Because they felt provoked. That's how pride operates. And then, see, when the heart hardens, it's like the wayside. And the enemy steal the word that would have blessed them. To the point they can't even remember it. And then they avoid you. Now, I'm going to read verse 16 again. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. When people get in pride, that's what they do. Their attention's on how they look, not on receiving what God had to say to them. And the enemy steal the word from them, which sometimes happened to be a very key ingredient that they needed to go to the next glory. In 2006, the Lord said, that's when he started speaking to me this way. He said, "Don't teach foolish pastors." I'm like, wait a minute. Foolish and pastor shouldn't be in the same sentence. He gave me a mandate. He gave me a, he never did that before. He was grieved. And this was the season when the Lord would give me something and I would try to share it with some of my pastor friends. And he would make me forget all of it. I couldn't remember anything that I was going to say moments ago. And I began to talk about it and forget it instantly. I mean instantly. Then I'll talk about something else, and then on the way home it'll all come back. This went on for a while. This started happening around 2000. And then in 2006, the Lord said, because I met a guy, I liked him. And I wanted to give him information because the Lord had given me a lot of information over the years. And he seemed, I just liked the guy. I mean, I really liked him. And the Lord knew what I was going to try to do. He said, "Don't teach foolish pastors." Now, I don't know, how could I know whether a man is foolish or not? But if I'm going to minister to somebody on that scale, I got to do it by the Holy Ghost. Remember Jesus didn't go by the seeing of the eyes. He righteous judgments he made. And sometimes, see, we have to deal with what the Holy Spirit, if I depend on the Holy Spirit to minister, I have to do it his way. He said he should, verse 3 says, "And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." I'm trying to give people good information to, you know, but the Lord wouldn't give it to him. Why wouldn't the Lord give a person more knowledge? If the foundation's not right, they'll make a mess of it. He said, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." See, when God is going to win souls, if a person has any foolishness, corruption, pride, fear, those things have to be addressed. And then revelation can be given. It's not that God wants to stall them, but because of the heart condition or because of their ways, It's just not wise to release them with greater information to make a bigger mess. Because if people monitor the leadership, whatever the leader do, they eat it up like soup. If they are rude and then they preach a glorious word from God, what are the people going to do? They're going to give the revelation they got from their pastor and be rude. If they're in pride, they're going to be in pride. If they're in fear, they're going to be in fear. And God has a bigger mess to deal with. See, if your focus is on Jesus, when I have problems or things I want to know from the Lord, I ask God. And then he uses whoever he wants. I don't care. It doesn't, when somebody half my age come and tell me something, I thank God for it. And I let them know it. I thank God for them, and I thank them for being obedient. And I try to see what other revelation they got. That's why I love to listen to Henry Groover so much. He did the same kind of things I did. He just loved God, and he stayed in God's. He kept his relationship ahead of his ministry, and he had so many opportunities to become wealthy. People were going to give him all kinds of money. Now, he was an engineer. He was an electrical engineer. He had a career. But when he went ministry, he did it God's way. He stuck with the protocol that God gave him. And a rich man tried to buy him a church, buy him a house. And he was just going to preach. He wouldn't let him do it. Because he stuck with what God was doing. So many people, when the millionaire comes, they deviate. Consider these things, because God has to build on a firm foundation, not sand. And our God does things right. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Trust the protocol. Live in victory.